Okay, we'll be reading from John chapter 15, verse 1 through 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away and prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
Good morning. If you'd open your Bibles to John, the 15th chapter, if you haven't done so already. We're going to keep reading here in just a minute the verses that were just read, talking about our Savior and the relationship that we have with him. And the idea for us is whether or not we are living this on a day-to-day basis. And this is something that we need to talk about often, because the last 2 years, the themes, if you could see them on the windows, talking about drawing near to him and being worthy, walking in a manner that is worthy. And what that looks like is not something you simply can do on a Sunday only, or on a Wednesday, but it's our life, as we are told in the scriptures. It's who we are. And I want to talk about that, because I want us to think about what it's like to remain in his presence, that you are in his presence, and what it truly looks like to be in his presence. In John, the 15th chapter, the verses that were just read to us, I'll pick up in verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I'm going to stop there for just a minute. I want you to think about these verses for a second, and the fact that abide is going to be used 10 times in the 10 verses that we just read. Abide. What does abide mean? We sing it. We'll talk about it. But that's not a word, at least I don't normally use. But I do understand the idea of continuing to be present or remaining in something. It's not something I just go in and out of per se when it comes to my relationship with God. I remain or continue in his presence. We talk a lot about him being in our presence, or the opportunity that we have to always be in his presence, but the reality is you and I could leave it. We can decide not to have that relationship. He's obviously still around, but that relationship is different. And so how do we make this look like something in our day-to-day lives when we're going through various difficulties and trials in our lives? I want you to notice verse 11 here. He tells us, or he goes on and says, "These things I have spoken to you so that you may, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." How do I continue to have joy in this life? A joy, by the way, that is a choice that I get to make on every situation. We've talked about this numerous times. The word joy and happy are not the same. I can be joyful, as the scriptures will talk about, through various trials that I go through. That's a choice that I have. It's a choice that you have. And our understanding of joy sometimes is that we misunderstand where that comes from. Christians have joy because they are in the abiding relationship of Jesus Christ. They're in his presence. We're in his presence. Unless we're not. And that's the struggle we're going to be talking about this morning. Abiding in his presence and the joy that is found in his presence. I want you to think about what it looks like to remain in him for just a minute. In Joshua, the third chapter, this is an interesting offshoot that I don't think I've ever used, actually, so I will use it today. What it looks like to remain in him, or to have reverence for him. In Joshua, the third chapter, you have, they just went over Jordan. They're going into Canaan. They have no idea where they are. We can call it the promised land. It's going to be their land. When they cross over, they have no idea where they are. There's some understanding of some of the places just because of the spies. But it's fascinating here what God tells them in Joshua, the third chapter in verse 4. Here he's talking about what's going to happen with the Ark of the Covenant. He says, however, there shall be between you and the distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go. For you have not passed this way before. You know what he's saying? For us, it's like Waze, right? I can use Waze or maps or whatever you use to get anywhere you go. When I was younger, I used to print off things off MapQuest, right? And some of you that are older than that, hope the horse got you there, I guess. I don't know what you did. But you think about from our perspective, we understand certain things. You see something, right? I see King's Island. I know where I am. I see it. Well, he says, look, you're going into an area where you've never been. Make sure you can always see the ark. Make sure you always have that point, that standard. When we go through our lives, it's the same for us. We're going through various trials, various things in this world. But if we keep the same standard, if we keep our focus on what it needs to be on in God's word and on him himself, we can have that relationship with us that we're not going to get lost. We're going to be able to go through this life, even the things that we do not know about or have never been before, and understand how we're going to handle them because of Jesus. That is how we do this every day. Abiding every single day. Making the most of the opportunity that we have. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. We studied this in the Thursday class. Beginning in verse 1 of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, he says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This whole passage, this whole chapter, really the book, is talking about how better the new law is, and how some people wanted to go back. And he says they wanted to go back to a time where they were looking for the future. They were living the life, in Hebrews 11 chapter, they had faith and never saw the promises. You have them. Why would you go back? But he tells us here, when you are running this race with endurance, it's a choice that you have. But in verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. As I told the Thursday class, because I know a lot of us are from Kentucky, fixing is not what he's talking about. I'm not fixing to leave. It's fixing. You're focused on Jesus Christ. You're focused on him all the time. But I'm not sure that that's true for all of us. I know there's been time in my life where that's not been the case. Where in verse 1, it talks about it's easier to just get caught up and get caught up in the sin that easily entangles us. So you have to do anything to get caught up in sin. It's easy. But I have to have a choice of whether or not I'm going to run with endurance, whether or not I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus, whether or not I'm going to look at this cloud of witness, or I'm going to look at Jesus and all that he went through so that I don't lose heart and become weary because I go through difficulties. It's the choice that we all have. And it's every single day of our lives. I have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring, if there is one. I know about now. And I know the relationship I can have with God now. And when we have our eyes focused on him, we can go through anything. Doesn't mean it's easy. But it means that we're going to be able to get through it. We talked about prayer a little bit in class. When you think about our prayer life, I can't remember who said it, but they're talking about how so often we only pray when there's difficulties come. I think it was Ben. Talking about the difficulties that come up. That's when we pray. I've tried everything else. Maybe God can do something. Tell me through it. What a backwards view that is. We're to pray without ceasing. We're always praying to him. We're always in conversation with God. We're always in communication with God. and understanding what that looks like. Tyler, a few weeks ago, talked about Revelation, the 4th chapter and 5th chapter, before the throne. I think sometimes for us, if you're visual like I am, stopping before I pray and just taking a few minutes and thinking about the fact I am before the throne, before I bow my head, change the way that I pray. There are times where I pray very quickly. We need to pray very quickly. There are situations that come up. There are times I'm praying with a broken heart. There are times I'm praying with faith. But how often do I just stop and realize what I'm praying to? And realize who He is. He is my Father. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But He's also the creator of all things. He's also I am. He's the eternal one. Him. You need to be reminded of who He is. You need to think about who you're praying to. Talked about a little bit in class. Understand Him. Yes, He wants to hear from you. But He is not a God that is just simply a genie that you're going to ask for wishes and you're going to grant them. If He doesn't, I don't like Him. You know what that makes you? What James Scott said? You're the God. His will is going to be done. So when we pray, it's understanding what the purpose of that prayer is. Why I am praying. When our Savior is bawling, crying, weeping in the garden, God cared for Him. Father cared for Him. He takes care of Him. But He still has to go to the cross. You and I are going to go through difficulties in our lives. But we still need to know that God is going to be with us. I've shared this before, but I'll share it now because I think it's funny. Can you imagine if your kid came up to your parent and said, "Grand, omnipotent Father of the household, I beseech your presence, great provider of all that I have, grant me thy presence through the long watches of the night, for lingering fears beset me, verily, until dawn's first rays at the last light, my heart with hope." Instead of just coming up to you and saying, "Daddy, I'm in the dark, would you help me?" How often we pray things that the only words I ever hear appear in our prayers. Which is fine, if you know what I mean. I was in a situation one time where a guy got up and said, "To a terrible God," and we're like, "What? You can't say that." Well, evidently in the old English, somewhere down the road, terrible meant awesome. Well, who knows that? Some of you might. I thought, oh, I'm going to see something fun after this prayer. We've got to understand why we say what we say. I get caught up in saying the exact same thing sometimes and never just stopping and thinking, why am I saying what I'm saying? Please be with the sick. Be with those that are traveling. Perfect. Are we actually really thinking about what we are saying? Can you imagine if you woke up every single morning and began with a prayer to God? Not the same one. I'm not talking about just with things that you just always say. But stopping for a minute before you start this day and talking to Him. I think one of the greatest things that we see of David in some of the Psalms, especially early on in the Psalms, Psalm 3 and 4, is how he would pray before he went to sleep and after he woke up. Some of the Psalms are written about. And God, you were with me the whole time. We take for granted, I think, a lot that we can lock our doors and live in a peaceful area, not too worried about anything happening. And if something happens at night, there's a huge alarm that'll go off, and then my dog will bark, and hopefully Jacob does something. But back then, when David was asleep, he had to hope that the people did not turn on him, they were watching him. He had hope that the people didn't find him or didn't sleep. But you know what he did more than that? He prays to God. God, watch over me. God, thank you for allowing me to get through this day. We live in a time that's very obvious that we can waste a whole day because we had a bad 10 seconds. And then we'll write about it on Facebook and then it'll pop up and people will say something to you about it. We want everybody to know about it. And we just never give it to the one who needs to have it. It makes no sense. We are to talk to God with reverence, and I'm not suggesting, that's why I talked about the throne room first. You need to talk to him and understand who he is. But we also need to understand he is my father, he is your father, and he wants you to talk to him. And the amazing thing is, he already knows that you're afraid of the dark. He already knows the struggles you're going through. And so we bow our heads and try to pretend like you're not that big of a deal. He already knows because he loves you deeply. I want you to consider something with me on this point. What do you dwell on? You know, it's interesting, the word meditation that people will talk about, as though it's a new word. It's the scriptures talk about it all the time. The Old Testament uses meditation all the time, and we need to do it. The problem is when you empty your head and then you leave it empty. Okay, that can be the meditation difference of today in the Bible, right? Meditation, as far as I'm concerned, is wonderful. I think it's something that we don't do enough. Just to be silent. We are so busy. We all can have so much news at the click of a button on our phones. It's so fast. And then we pray that way. And our relationships are that way. When God says, stop. Calm down. Be silent. Clear your head. But then what? If I were to ask you, if you really looked at your life and you thought about what you dwell on or what you're absorbed in, what would it be? Sports? Politics? Which is embarrassing. Social media? All nonsense that we allow ourselves to be absorbed in. They're not by themselves wrong. But to be absorbed in, or to dwell on, what are we told to dwell on? God's word, on him. In 1 Timothy, 4th chapter, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy here, he tells him he needed to become absorbed in these things. In verse 13, 1 Timothy, 4th chapter. It says, until I come, give attention, just right. Verse 13, sorry. Until I come and give attention to the public reading of scripture and exhortation and teachings, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterances with the laying on of the hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay a close attention to yourselves and to the others' teachings. Persevere in these things, for as you do, this you will ensure salvation both for yourselves and for those who hear you. We can focus on these verses, and we will in class. We'll talk about what all these different things mean. But the reality in verse 15 is that we're supposed to be absorbed in these things. Be absorbed in them. So when we talk about God being our life, he's my life, what does that mean to you? Because our actions may not show that. Philippians 4th chapter tells us we need to dwell on whatever is good, whatever is honorable. The sad reality when it comes to what we dwell on or what we spend time on, and I want you to think about this, you're the only one that can answer it. It's not about you telling me. What do you spend the most of your time on? What do you use free time? You don't even have to be because you're at work. Just your free time. What do we spend our time on? Well, if the answer is not God and God's word or anything down that road or focusing on him at all, don't say it's God. Change it to be God. So when we look at things in our lives, we're not getting so amped up simply because something was said on the news or something's happening. Things are always happening. They just didn't show up on my phone so quickly when I was younger. Oh, I didn't have a phone when I was younger, believe it or not. I don't believe that we're intended to get this much information this quickly. I think that's the danger. But we become addicted to it, and we allow it to continue to fill our minds, and it causes us to be fearful. And it causes us to focus on the darkness rather than the light. And there is a huge danger to that. And we need to understand the difference. What are you absorbed in? What do you dwell on? What's your identity? In Psalm 139, verse 14, we are told that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I want you to stop and think about that for just a minute. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You as an individual are fearfully and wonderfully made. Ephesians 2:10 says you are his masterpiece. The world tells you that you're not enough. Girls, you're never going to be pretty enough. Guys, you have to make sure that you're never going to be athletic enough, whatever the subject is. You're not smart enough. And God says, you are my masterpiece. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Which one do we listen to? Easy to say God, but is that true? We live in a society where they're taking away identity and what identity is. Young ladies, you are the daughter of the King. The daughter of the King. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. You are the daughter of the King. You don't have to prove anything to anyone. You don't have to do anything to anyone. You are the daughter of the King. Young men, you are the son of the King. You open the door for as many women as you want. You're the son of the King. You live a life of service to people that are around you. You're the son of the King. It is not about what society is going to take away from you or want you to stop doing. It's about what your God believes you to be. Your Father. Your King. And until we start living that life on a day-to-day basis, we're going to be tossed to and fro. We are going to struggle. I know there are people here that struggle mightily with who they are, defining themselves or struggling with the definition that people in the world are going to give us. You need to be proud of who you are because of who you are. Not because of what you do solely. I'm talking about secularly in life. It's because you're a child of the living God. There is no greater thing that can be said of you unless you're not willing to listen to it. It is amazing how often we listen to people that pretend to be somebody else for a living in Hollywood. Think about that. We like them because they act like somebody else. And we listen and care what they think. Are you crazy? That is absurd. That's the definition of hypocritical. That's where that comes from. But that's what we do. They're on magazines. They're always everywhere. I need to look like them. What makeup do you use? Oh, what? I'm going down a road I don't understand when it comes to makeup, probably. But all those things we allow to enter our minds. And what makes us so important. And people want to have their time of fame and fortune because that's what brings happiness. And I'm telling you, it doesn't. True joy is only found in Jesus Christ. True peace is only found in Jesus Christ. True identity is only found in Jesus Christ. We were made in his image. We are made to be his children. But so is everyone else that's ever walked the face of this earth. That's their choice to make. God wants to be their father. But it's their choice of what that relationship's going to look like. And it's the same for us. This week, I want you just to try something for me. I want you to wake up every morning and just lay there for a minute, which we probably all do now. But when you're laying there, I want you just to think about the fact that you are going before the throne and you're going to talk to your Father. And I want you to think actually what you are praying about. The things that you really are struggling with that you have never told him or anyone else, even though he knows. And talk to him as your father. When you lay your head down at night, I beg you to do the same. Any other time that you have throughout the day, do the same. And I guarantee you, your relationship with God will be closer. Not because I know anything different, because the Bible tells us so. That's the relationship we're striving to have. Doesn't mean it's always that way. We can struggle. I struggle. But the awesome thing about our God is he gives us the time now to make sure that we are right with him. One of the things that's difficult for me, especially as a male growing up, and even now, is thinking that I don't show emotion. Don't show emotions. Young men, I know that there are some that are dealing with a lot of struggles. Let us help you. Let us help you. There may be addictions that people are dealing with, suicide people deal with, all sorts of things people are dealing with. Let us help you. I want you to understand how valuable you are and you alone are to God. This world, again, is trying to destroy your identity. I want you to have a relationship with the one who gave it to you. If you have not obeyed the gospel, you have the opportunity now to have a relationship with the God of all things. By his grace, he's given us the opportunity to be his child. Even though the things that I've done, the things that you've done, and he knows. He said, that's why I sent my son to die for you. If you have obeyed the gospel, and you haven't been living this daily, I encourage you to start today. Don't wait. Start today. Maybe you're dealing with things in your life and you think, well, I need to get rid of those before I start this relationship with God. You have that backwards. God's the one that helps us through all those things. Let us help you through those things. Make sure that you're praying for one another. We all are people struggling through Babylon. We talked about in class. But our citizenship is in heaven. And I beg you to make sure that you are immersing yourself in him, abiding in him. And I assure you, you're going to be with him for eternity. If there's anything that we can do for you, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.